was weak in the faith, perceive ye, but not your doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another is weak, he deserves. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth judge him that eateth, for God has received. This first part of this chapter 4, we talk about doubtful things, the things that are not definitely in Scripture. A lot of things that people do that they want to do, other people don't do what they want to do. But these are not told in Scripture. We must obey everything told in Scripture, and not these things are what they call doubtful things. Who is it? How would you define a person weak in the faith? That's in verse 1.
Perhaps someone that's a new believer, right. Someone who's not perhaps matured spiritually, mm-hmm. entirely. I mean, we're all continually maturing, but mm-hmm. we're a very new Christian who doesn't have a firm grasp of all the doctrines of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. But refer also to someone that's not necessarily a new Christian. Still weak in the faith, Barbara?
I've got over-scrupulous.
Over-scrupulous. Okay, don't be over-scrupulous. And digging in. So, yes, Bill.
A lot of people are not taught properly in the churches that they go to, especially the Catholics
right.
and the Methodists. And
some of the Baptists. Some of the Presbyterians.
Yes, some Baptists and Presbyterians and all of them are not taught all of the things they
right.
need to learn.
Especially that. Yeah.
But in many of those instances, in the pagan churches and churches where there's no truth out there, they're not believers at all.
Right.
They haven't even started to be. We have faith. They don't have faith.
Right.
They don't have genuine saving faith.
Right. Yeah, Bill.
But many of these people think that they have saving faith.
Does that make it true?
No, it doesn't make it true. But that's an illusion. When I first went to the Methodist church down the street. The youth pastor came up to me and he says, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And I wasn't particularly sure of his language there or what he meant by that. Eventually, I wound up leaving because he was one of those rock and roll people who like to play that loud music and everything. Now, he may have had saving faith. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like his lifestyle, you know, the way he dressed so casually at church, and I didn't like his language on it. But there are people in a lot of churches who believe that they are saved, even if they are really not.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm just thinking that we're not at that point yet. We're still at the weekend.
All right.
But I'm looking at the doubtful disputations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people who want liberty call those who have convictions or have discernment about different things
mm-hmm.
weak in the faith, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to maintain a biblical standard.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a standard. You have to have a line somewhere.
Right.
It's like the service standards they used to have
mm-hmm.
years ago
yes.
at certain churches,
mm-hmm.
and they forsook them, and now there's no standard.
Right.
And so they continue on as far as their salvation is based on works a lot of times
mm-hmm.
in some of these organizations. It's based on works. They could be deceived. They think by doing good, by going to church, by being nice to these people, by doing this, by doing all these things, and that's what gives them salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based upon the blood of Christ and on salvation, personal salvation, and what He's done for them. It's just based upon what they do.
Mm-hmm. Bill?
Sometimes people in other churches use watered down Bibles too. Which means that their understanding is going to be weak as long as they stay
mm-hmm.
there.
What do you think the faith means here? We can take that, Barbara.
Well, it's the faith. It's specified, so it would have to be the doctrine that was taught.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't seem like someone that's weak in faith to be an unbeliever.
No, no, that's right.
They have to be saved. Yeah.
They say, but they're weak. They're weak Christians, but they're not. So the faith, all the doctrines of the faith, that's what the faith in the Hebrew or the Greek means when in that context. And so all the doctrines, what would it mean to be weak in these doctrines? What would that mean? And Bill, in the best of that?
I think it means initially that they don't have the belief to maintain faith. They doubt some of Scripture. They don't believe that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe that Jesus Christ was only a human being, that he was not deity as
There's
well.
A created being.
Yes.
Not the Creator.
I'm not referring to just that gentleman.
Oh, no.
There are plenty That's out something. There who are that way.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't get...
Pastor Dan and Anna.
To repeat it for them later when they get it, is weak as opposed to strong.
Yes.
Strong is what where we want to be. And someone that's not, someone that's weak in the faith is not strong.
Right.
Specifically physically speaking. Sometimes, for various reasons, we're weak physically, whether we're sick, we haven't developed certain muscles, or we're just weak. But this is talking about spiritual sense, weak spiritually. Mm-hmm. We're weak in that body of doctrine.
The body of doctrine. It's got 10 major doctrinal divisions, as we know in theology. Christology, doctrine of Christ, all these things. What would it mean if a person was weak in these things, whether it's the doctrine of Christ, or the Bible, or inspiration, or the Holy Spirit, or salvation? What was it?
Okay. They didn't have the knowledge of
those
different
types. Yes, and sometimes they don't even care about it. They don't even know they're in the Bible. They're not reading the Bible. So what should we do with those that are reading the Bible? According to this verse, the Bible?
We're to receive them.
Receive them. Anna?
Well, interesting comment. I would think that they would have an understanding of the gospel because it seems like it's a receiving, so it would be their shape.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be certain doctrines that they would assume they would hold to.
Mm-hmm. Let's suppose a dress code were, in general, followed by a local church. Somebody came in with a not part of the dress code. Would that make them lose their salvation? That would be a doubtful thing. Now, we could have a thing, but this would be one of the things, am I right? Certain ways of people acting, different things. Not to doubt this before. And what does this verse 2 mean? One that believeth that he may eat all things. And then who is weak to get this or for them, Tammy and then Barbara.
With the dress code, wouldn't it be almost like if that person came in and they were dressed a certain way and they were trying to influence everyone else to dress that way, then they would be demonstrating their weakness of not understanding the biblical, maybe they're not understanding modesty, not understanding other biblical principles of the scriptures.
Yes. You have to, go ahead, Barbara, before saying it. Go ahead, Barbara.
Are you sure? Okay. To go back to receive,
mm-hmm.
To take to oneself, to take as one's companion, to give one access to one's heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. More than just receive. That's to take into fellowship.
Take into fellowship and receive them, so I hope that will work out. And if they haven't a false or different dress code than the most of us, is a dress code specifically? I know there's some things about dress that are in Scripture, but is everything in the Scripture about dress code generally? Mm-hmm. Everything? Not in detail, but there's some things definitely we can't cross any of those lines, but other things are different. And so sometimes, as you know, churches that are casual dresses, all of a sudden, casual, oh, this is the pastor. He takes off his tie, maybe take it off his coat, puts on just a t-shirt, and he preaches it. It sort of influences the whole church, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why whole churches are just casual dressed. Yeah, Anna.
And of course, in the New Testament, neither the New Testament nor the Old Testament, they had ties. So their idea of a formal attire would have been different today.
That's right.
Than today.
That's right.
Good ties.
No, they didn't have ties.
I'm suggesting that they didn't have ties.
They didn't use ties in those origins.
Please, someplace else.
So, in other words, there are certain things that are doubtful things, and could receive them.
and see what we can do. Okay. We had a case several years ago, a wonderful cellist, I think it was a cellist, and she came with our church several times. She's a relative of Dick Carroll, one of the daughters, and
granddaughter.
And we liked what she played, very good. First time she came in a very nice dress and skirt. And second time she came, in slacks and so on. And for somebody comes, we don't care, but if they're participants, we like to have. So my wife said, well, maybe could you maybe wear a dress like you did before? And so she went. And I think she wore a dress the next time, but never came back.
She never came back after that.
After that, yeah. Anyway.
We went to the funeral, I guess, your grandmother.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know if you were there.
Was it her dad? I mean, her grandfather?
No.
Dick Carroll, no?
I didn't go to the
grandmother. Oh, grandmother?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It was grandmother, okay. And Dick Carroll's wife. And they were buried way out in the country someplace. Uh-huh. And I noticed there that all of the women in that family were black. This mm-hmm. was a funeral.
Yes.
To me, maybe it's all right, but to me, I'm pretty sure it's dress.
The different standards, different. I mean, a lot of these things aren't necessarily completely exactly contrary. Some are. Yes.
I'm trying to say it. So, for me to tell her that was she was not used to wearing a dress. The family doesn't even wear.
But she wore it the first time she came.
Yes, but I'm
beautiful, nice skirt.
Yeah.
But that's
the. I was having I guess three funerals in the last 4 weeks or something like that, but. There were ladies that were at one of them I remember. The lady I remember mm-hmm. that she was wearing a dress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she doesn't always wear a dress, but for this particular funeral she was wearing a dress.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, but I'm not sure if the attire is necessarily related directly to the faith.
Right,
he'll talk about attire maybe elsewhere in First Corinthians and so forth and other places. But as far as the benchmark or is not whether a person for whether they're strong in the faith or weak in the faith mm-hmm. is whether or not they wear a tie mm-hmm. or wear a t-shirt.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure.
These are doctrinal things. Doctrinal things, and that's specifically nailed on. But doctrines of the faith are nailed on, are they not? The doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Creator. That's a solid, by Him were all things made, by Him was not anything made that was made. As it says in the Gospel of John. And to say He was just a created being, I guess is horrible. But, Pastor Dan.
There are people that are still learning certain things. I mean, they may not understand all the aspects of all the doctrines, mm-hmm. but they can't specifically be denying them.
Exactly.
They can't be categorically denying the doctrines of Scripture.
That's right.
But they may not understand it completely, so they're in a growing process, and so they don't understand everything in the Scripture. And so there's a level of patience that has to be given to them. Sometimes we're maybe too patient with them. Sometimes we may not be patient enough with them for them to.
16 years for me. Very patient. Go ahead.
What are you talking about? 16 years.
So yeah, but there's a. But it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
It doesn't apply. He's not weak in the faith. He doesn't.
That's right.
I can't say dogmatically. I can post this because I have my doubts whether or not there was any faith present.
Right.
And so there's not an established foundation there. There's no foundation that was given for him to for him for her for her faith to be established in the faith. Before somebody could be weak in the faith, they have to be in the faith.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, if the faith is a doctrine position of Scripture, and someone is weak, what's the way that he or she has to do, or perform, or do to get strong in the faith? What must happen?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. The faith is right in the Bible, see? And read it and study it and go to a Bible-believing church and learn so they're no longer weak in the doctrines of the faith. So that's interesting, but not doubtful. There's some things that you can't really nail them down in Scripture. There's some things that are a little bit close to Scripture, but other things that are completely out of Scripture. We just have to figure it out. Now, you know, most of our people, for instance, in our church, most of the ladies do wear skirts or dress, whatever. And I noticed this for many years. We've been here 16, 17 years. And I know some people that come in with the one dress, you know, with a slash other, but after a while, they can see the ladies, usually, so they switch. We don't say a word about it. We don't, you know, not based anywhere where they come, how they come. But I notice that's possible. That's a lot of ways. A lot of people that come one way, a few weeks or months, by coming to the church, they change the city. That's entirely, these are some doubtful things. As it is. But then, in verse number two, what are the, excuse me,
well, I'm just thinking of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say, well, music is a doubtful thing. But, you know, when there's a biblical standard of godly music,
mm-hmm.
then it shouldn't be surrendered to, you know, contemporary Christian music. There's
yes.
principles there.
Mm-hmm.
And such as when, and if people come in, and perhaps they're holding to contemporary Christian music personally, they have to grow. They have to understand
mm-hmm.
those principles. And there's no, the musicians are ecumenical,
mm-hmm.
and they're you know, they're dangerous in their ties.
Yes.
And sometimes people don't understand the principles behind some of these.
Right.
Doubtful disputation,
mm-hmm.
and but there's a correct biblical strong view,
mm-hmm.
which isn't because you're weak in the faith.
Right, that's the principle. That's in music. That's why very important, because those that, I mean, all these matters, whether it's the beat, whether it's the speed, whether it's the accent. It's not godly type of music, and just but there are very few churches anymore that maintain the standards of music and the old hymns and so on. But it's very important to see that. That's right. But now, in verse number two, what are some of the illustrations here of these disputeful things or doubtful things that may not be specifically in Scripture? Question then.
Dietary regulations.
Mm-hmm. Dietary. One eats all things, another week just eats for death.
Doesn't this go back to Acts 15, chapter 15, where they were having the
Jerusalem Council?
Jerusalem Council,
mm-hmm.
and there was a decision made that, let me see, yeah, it's verse 20, but we write, let me back up to verse 20. In this verse 13, and to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build up the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. But there was I guess it really doesn't get into it here. But I guess it talks about it more in this chapter.
29,
verse 29. What's that say?
They abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you should do well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, abstain from pollutions of idols.
Because they're right, yeah.
Those meat offered to idols.
Oh, yes.
It's clear in verse
right.
29.
Right.
Same thing.
Yes, and then, so the different dietary things in verse number two. So these are some of the doctrinal things. Then verse number three, what is the action for those that have different views on diet? What should the action be of the Christian believers there in Rome? Yes, Harbor and Pastor Dan.
Is the stop sign?
Stop sign, all right. All right, Pastor Dan.
There should be unnecessary, undue division between the weaker and the stronger.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to despise?
To look down on
somebody, that's right, or hate them or not like them. Don't let them be despised. Not even, and what about them that eateth? What should they not do?
Judge.
It's hard to. It's easy to judge. It's easy. Oh, I don't agree with that. Color the rug, whatever it is. Yes, Tim.
It's one thing to judge a person's heart or their intention. Mm-hmm. It's another thing entirely to judge things. We can judge music.
Mm-hmm.
We're not judging someone's heart that requests it.
Mm-hmm.
We may judge music because we know something about the testimony of the musician, or perhaps we know what that's saying, and there's something in the song that's not doctrinally
correct. Not doctrinally correct. Mm-hmm. That's right. So in that verse 3, we have just stop despising when they eat, stop, and don't judge when they eat. And that if God has received it, what's that? Excuse me, first Pastor Dan, and then.
So we have the idea that's going part of the culture as far as the. In other passages of scripture, maybe in this passage later on, mm-hmm. we see about the reason why one doesn't want to eat the meat is because they've been in an adult environment, a culture of paganism, where they, mm-hmm. that was something that was a negative thing.
They've offered idols.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they want to stay away from all meat because they don't know.
Yes.
In their way of thinking, whether it's good or bad. So just right now, it's good for them in their way of thinking. It's good for them to stay away
mm-hmm.
from the meat.
Barbara?
This received is the same as received is in verse 14. If we're supposed to take this person to yourself and to your as your companion and give them access to your heart, it's the same word. So God has taken this person to His heart
mm-hmm.
as well. So we are to treat him as God treats him.
All right, so when it says in the last part, God has received him, what does that, would that indicate about these people he's talking about?
And they're saved.
They're saved, born again. Even though they're weak in the doctrines of the faith, they're saved. God has received him. In other words, is every Christian born again Christian perfect?
No.
Is any born again Christian perfect?
No.
No, none of us will get that.
Could Barbara repeat what she was talking about? Verse 14? Which verse 14 is the
first? I'm sorry, chapter verse 1? Chapter 14.
14, verse 1.
Oh, okay. Verse
same receipt.
Okay.
Same
receipt. Okay, right.
I'm sorry.
I understand.
Alright.
I was looking at verse 14.
Don't touch my brain.
No.
The thing is, as Barbara says in verse 1, if God has received him, fellow believers should receive him as well. That's very good. Then in verse 4, 5, and 6 together. Who are thou to judge another man's servant? If there is no match, they stand with their fathers. Yea, he should be bold enough, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He who regardeth the day, regardeth not the Lord. And he who regardeth not the day, the Lord will not regard it. For he who giveth gifts to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, giveth God thanks. All right, in verse number 4, the question is asked. It's an important question. What is the question?
Who art thou that judgest
another man's servant? That would indicate that the Lord is his master and people are saved, but the servants, yes.
This is not
do law. It's not do law. What is it? Diakonos.
It's someone who lives in the same house as the mother.
Could be diakonos.
But
it's not do law.
That's good.
Okay.
If you judge another man's servant, that implies that somehow you know what that servant's been asked to do.
Yes.
Which, if you're a servant as well,
mm-hmm.
why are you trying to figure out what, you know, the boss or the mm-hmm. owner,
master
is telling someone else?
Like a servant.
That's what it is, huh? Like a day.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, good. One that dwells in the house. Anna?
Well, like, for example, in one household, the head of the household may say, well, we serve you set the table this way,
mm-hmm.
and then another person may say, set the table this way, mm-hmm. and then, like, if the servant says, you set the table wrong, but it's how the, it's not set, or makes it in accordance with how the servant was instructed.
Right. That's very good. So, Yvonne.
Supposed to look in the book and it tells you how to
do it. Oh, okay. This is the illustrative
effect. Sorry, I'm thinking about before the book was written.
There's two contradictory books. Book A says it one way.
Yes.
That's
book
right.
B says okay. another way.
That's right. Exactly.
It's not the Bible. Yeah. Gloria Vanderbilt is out of books. We have to get a Memphis Manners.
And before Vanderbilt was in my book.
No, that's who I was thinking.
Oh, okay. All right, so the servant is to obey his master. And if we're not part of the master, part of the household, then we shouldn't be meddling in somebody else's business, right?
Right.
All right, so we're going to judge the master. What is the responsibility of the servant? To whom is he responsible in this verse number 4? His own master. Now, you understand as a follower. But to whom is a born-again Christian to be responsible? To the master, or himself, or Jesus Christ himself. And so, it's up to his own master to say, well, whether he's good or bad, stands or falls. And then, what does it say about the the advantage, or what's going to be the prosperity of this servant, or about the futurity, what's going to happen to him according to this verse? What's going to happen to the servant in verse 4? And who made it happen? Who does he say it's going to happen?
What's
going to
happen?
His master, he's going to be holding up. Who's that? Okay. And, but also, not of the master, but who else is going to hold him up? Okay. I just can't send out free, but I can receive free, I believe. 856-261-9018. Give me a call, Randy. Glad to hear you. You're coming. Go right ahead and call. All right, so God is able to make him stand.
Barbara,
do you remember what you said?
I can try.
Okay,
try. Okay, hold enough means made to stand.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it says God is able to make him stand because we are, like you said, we're responsible to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And stand he will because his own master has the power to enable him to stand.
Yes.
Christ gives us the power to stand. We don't stand on our own.
Verse 4. All right, that's good. So then in verse number 5,
Thank you.
Talks about days. So what are some examples we might record today about days in our country right here?
Halloween
is a day.
Like the
4th
of July.
4th of July, Easter, Christmas,
Memorial Day,
Valentine's Day, Secretary's Day,
May Day.
Here it is, he's going to call.
St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks, Jim. Hi, Anne Marie, go ahead and call. Go ahead and give us, or Randy, whoever it is, go ahead.
Oh, I'm not too waiting for you, Randy.
Good.
Question about dress code and how people dress or not, and it's such a big question nowadays.
Yes.
dressed, including the way we tend to dress, and what the standard kind of be measured by, what is that? What is that change? How would that affect our outward appearance? I believe that it does.
Yes.
Even though there's not a specific dress code list of rules in the Bible.
Right. That's good, Randy. Thank you for calling. Call again anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, what about this way for Randy over in Canada? Randy Houdyshell. Randy, you have something?
I think it's possible for some unsaved people to dress conservatively.
Yes.
Sometimes
they do, that's right. Some unsaved people dress more conservatively than Christians.
Habitually.
Pardon me?
Habitually, perhaps.
Yes. Christian, then?
Yeah, sometimes, that's not whole stuff. Here's a note here from Gary.
Right.
He's basically saying that he's got to go in for a checkup, a follow-up appointment on Tuesday at 1.
That's Gary Pace, isn't it?
Gary Pearson.
Pearson, okay.
He says, I'm home feeling better. I have to go back on Tuesday for a wound check at 1.
I would pray for Randy to do that.
I didn't know that what he had was so serious. I thought there was something wrong with his pacemaker.
Yeah, well, they had to open him up in order to and they replaced the pacemaker, apparently.
Yeah, the battery's wearing out.
But there had been loose wire,
and he had a few other issues, apparently. But you have to talk to Faith about that, Faith or Gary.
There were loose wires and not loose nuts. And the wires weren't. So then, in other words, they as long as they were to replace the wires, and I guess the thinking was let's just replace the whole unit.
Yes.
With the defibrillator / pacemaker, so that
where
it was not a problem later on.
Others attire and dress certainly should go along with the Christian faith. For instance, you see some of the women the way they dress at the beach. And the men dressing at the beach, but especially the women. The men just have shorts, but the women, it's just... Now, years ago, the women had long bathing suits all the way down to the...
Yeah, but those are in mines, too.
Well, maybe they were...
In comparison to what they're normal for.
They had bathing suits.
Yeah, but in other words, they used to be much different than the way they go today. Because practically nothing's on that record.
You won't have to wear anything.
Well, they have nudity. The whole nudist colonies, a whole bunch of them these days. But anyway, dress is important. And biblical standards do not always apply, but they should, on matters that are very important. Different days, when that man was fully persuaded, his own man was fully persuaded.
Barbara? Convinced,
and without any argumentation or debate, whatever. And then in verse number 6, either regards the day, regardless of unto whom? Unto whom? Yes, Barbara?
The Lord. All days are to be dedicated to God, to holy living and godly service.
Right. And then he regarded not the day, supposedly to whom does he not regard?
To the Lord
also. And he that eateth to the Lord, he gives God thanks for. He that eateth not, what does he do?
He
gives God and gives thanks to the Lord. So whatever the diet is, whether the meat's off the diet or whatever it is for eating, these are things that are specifically precious in the New Testament. Do we have laws about eating certain foods in the New Testament, basically? Is that only Old Testament? Yes, Barbara?
Wait a minute. What Tammy said about the Jerusalem Council, about the Gentiles, which is us, not to eat things strangled in his blood.
Right. Those are requirements in the New Testament. But basically, the Old Testament, how many things are required in eating there?
Oh, they have.
A whole bunch of them. Is it chapter 13 of Leviticus? All kinds of things. Yes.
Clean and unclean.
Yes. Those are
the
hoop. That's right. And so
the seafood
fish was singed. They have that scales. I mean, scales, they call right?
Scales.
Less scales. So, but New Testament has much fewer things. There are three things that are mentioned, there are four things in Acts 15. We follow those things and abstain from those things. But other than that, there's very little to say in the New Testament compared to the Old Testament where there's specific. We have 10, 15, 20 different items. Don't eat this and this and this and this. But we're under grace in the New Testament, not as many things at all. So then, let's read verse 7, 8, and 9, and then we'll probably stop. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he will be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou say not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Did I read too many verses?
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Right, we'll pick up.
And then we stopped at verse 6.
Yes, we stopped at 6. So we wait till we bring 7, 8, and 9 for next week. Pardon me. Yeah, we're going to sing that song. Number 38. From Dan Romer. That was always the bottom of my list, and I used to check the title of that. So then I remembered. I'm glad I remembered. Number 38.
4.
Stanza number 4. I'm sorry, Dale, I didn't mean harm. I just forgot, but I remember. That's something. When you forget something, you remember. Say the verse together, great is the Lord, greater than we praise. Psalm 48, number 38. Trusting him without any doubt whatsoever that he died for our sins. Let us direct us rest this week. Thank you for the verses we looked at. Help us to receive brothers and sisters in Christ to come to our church, and whatever they look like, we can't help that, but we're glad as they come. And so help us, Lord, to grow in grace and the knowledge of all the doctrines of the faith, reading Scripture and memorizing and knowing it and understanding and studying it. We may not be weak in any of the precious doctrines of thy Bible. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you.